Well, the singing sounds good tonight. Amen. So when's the last time you heard "trust me" and just wanted to run? It happens. I cringe when I hear that come out of somebody's mouth. I was in sales all my life, and when somebody said "trust me," I just wanted to run, not walk, to get away from the situation. The thing about trust is we trust our friends until somebody lies or misuses us in some manner. We trust our family until something goes astray and breaks that trust. We put our trust in banks, our trust in government, our trust in our automobiles, the electricity coming into our homes, gas lines, media, and the list goes on and on and on as to who we trust. And we have that trust until someone lies or someone breaks that trust. I was driving down the highway when I decided to put this sermon together. And as you drive down the highway and the freeway especially, there's hundreds of cars on that road. And I thought about, you know, everyone behind the wheel of these automobiles has absolute trust in the guy in front of him, mm-hmm. the guy in back of him, and the guy alongside of him. So I was thinking about that. And that trust that we have in those automobiles and that traffic, we all drive, we all know what that trust is. But that trust gets put into question. Someone cuts you off, or worse yet, even causes an accident. Then we sit back, we get cautious, we take a minute to reflect on what's going on, and then off we go again, and that trust is right back there. But trust issues, Stacy messaged me and wanted to know what my sermon was. I told her it was trust issues. She said, well, you shouldn't have any trouble preaching that. Making a joke that I had trust issues. So after the little thing with the highway and all the cars and all the things I was thinking about, I got thinking, how do we have that same kind of trust in God that we have on the highway? Amen. How can we have that total trust and just turn everything over to God and not worry about anything that we have as we drive down that highway? The answer is not easy. It's not a quick answer. It's not a quick fix. We can't trust someone that we don't know. But we know that with family. We know that with friends. If we don't sit down and visit with someone, how are we ever going to get to know them? If we don't ask them questions, how are we ever going to get to know them? This evening, I had a chance to visit with Tanya a little bit more than we normally visit. I didn't know the extent of her family. I didn't know about the brothers and sisters, but now I do. But those are the kinds of little things that we do with family and friends that builds trust. The secret of learning to trust God, and when someone says, trust me, we have two reactions. Either we can say, yep, I'll trust you. Or we can say, who are you? Why should I? I have no idea where you're coming from. Why should I put my trust in you? In God's case, I felt like trusting him naturally follows when we understand why we should. One of the main reasons we should trust God, he's worthy of that trust. Unlike men, he never lies. He never fails to fulfill his promises. He's not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Unlike men, he has the power to bring about what he plans and what he purposes to do. He can do what he says he's going to do. The Lord Almighty has sworn in Isaiah 14 and 24, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. He said it, he did it, he spoke into creation. He spoke it into being. His plans are perfect. His plans are holy. His plans are righteous. And if we look at the whole concept of what God's doing, He works all things together for the good of those who love Him. If we learn how to know God through His Word, then we'll see that He's worthy of our trust. Only way it's going to happen. And our trust in Him will grow daily if we put forth the effort to make it grow. If we want something to grow, we have to tend to it. If you want a nice yard, if you want nice gardens, if you want flowers like Stacy has in her yard, you have to tend to them. You fertilize them, you water them, you clip them. If we want to know God, we need to tend to Him. We need to do it daily. And to know Him then would be to trust Him. So we look at, I wanted to look at what is some of the promises that God makes to us. We look in the scriptures and from Genesis to Revelation, there's God promises one thing after another. But I picked about six or seven different things that I wanted to look at. And we can get to trust God as we see how He's proven Himself to be trustworthy in our lives, as well as in the lives of others. If we can't look at the things that happen in our lives and put that to God and say, God did that for me, or God did that for them, that's how we learn to trust. The record of God's promises is right there in the Word for all of us to use. Historical documents verify these events and speak of God's faithfulness to His people. All through the Old Testament, Bruce talked about Old Testament, I talk about Old Testament, it's all schoolmaster into the New Testament. But all through that Old Testament, over and over and over, He showed His faithfulness to His people. He made promises to them, He kept them, He didn't lie to them. With the prophecy that the prophets had about the coming of the Savior, it all came to being. There was nothing lied about. Every Christian can give personal testimony to God's trustworthiness. I mentioned there every Christian, not every person. We can give a personal testimony to God's worthiness because we can see the work in our lives, fulfilling His promises to save our souls. Now, there's work on our part also. God says, I will prepare for you a place. That's a promise. He also says you need to obey my commands. That's what we need to do to have that promise fulfilled. He comforts us with peace. He comforts us with understanding. As Paul would say, and as he's written, as we run the race that God planned for us. As we walk the life that we need to walk, as we walk in the light, as we step through these doors and out into the world, God will comfort us with His peace and His understanding. The more we experience God's grace, God's faithfulness, and God's goodness, the more we can trust Him. I want to look at a few verses and a few passages about some of the promises that God has. The Bible, we all know, is the Word of God. We know it's powerful. And we know if we tend to it and live by it, it's life-changing. The promise of God starts with 2 Timothy 3:16. And I think this is the basis behind the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, when God tells us that all scriptures in the Bible are inspired by God. Now, if we believe that, then everything else falls into place. With this promise of God in hand, we can be assured that we can learn in the Bible what's there comes from Him because it says so. Paul said so. We have a song we sing, Standing on the Promises, I Cannot Fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior, as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. We sang that song not too long ago in worship service. And I thought about it, and how steadfast do I stand on the promises of God? How much do I want to do on my own and think I can do it by myself? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. I want to start this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. We're going to cover some verses here fairly quickly. I'm not going to dive into them. As Bruce says, there's probably a sermon in each one of these. So we'll start with Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. And it's recorded, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." He knows what he's thinking. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." His thoughts for us is that we have peace, not evil. His thoughts for us are to have a future and a hope. "Then you will call upon me. You'll go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." What a promise. You pray to me, you talk to me, I'll listen. Mm-hmm. And he means it. It's not just happenstance. It's not just flippant, as you get from token friendships or you know, distant people you don't know much about. "Oh yeah, I'll listen to you till you've got more problems than I've got, and then I'm done." God doesn't have more problems than I've got. He'll listen to me. It says so right here. "You go pray to me, and I will listen." And in verse 13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." All right, so what do we got here? You call upon him, you pray to him. He's told us he'll listen to us. He tells us that if we'll seek him with all of our heart, we'll find him. Those are promises. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31, he gives power to the weak, that's you and me, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That are those that are in the Lord. You won't have to worry about being weak. You won't have to worry about being faint. The promise, you walk with me, you'll walk strong. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to start with verse 2 and go through verse 4. Peter opens this letter up and he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He's talking about knowledge. He's talking about knowing who God and Jesus are. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Verse 4, "by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." Peter records that right there. God's promises, they're great and they're precious, "that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The promise of Peter here about God, that God's promises are great, they're precious, and you escape all the corruption. Okay, do we really believe that? We need to. We talk about being out in the world. Bruce made a good reflection on Corinth this morning about how corrupt that town was. But the Christians that were within the church kept themselves out of that corruption because of God's promises to them. Remember he talked about peace back? We talked about it a little bit ago. That's God's promises. Matthew 11, 27 through 30. Jesus says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden," and what? "I will give you rest." We have recordings in Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians about turn everything over to God. Get rid of your stress. Get rid of your worries. Well, Jesus says it right here. Come to me, all of you that are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me handle your stuff. Learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How comforting is that scripture right there? But God's promise is we have to know God. We have to say, okay, I can't do it on my own. I'm giving it to you, God. I'm not dealing with it anymore. And when we learn how to do that, that's when we start learning who God is. That's how we start knowing the peace and the comfort that God can give us if we turn everything over to him. And when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he means it. It's a promise. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 19. This is at the end of the letter that Paul had written to the church at Philippi. And he says in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need. It's a promise. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply all of our need. And who better knows what we need than God? Romans 6, verse 23. 6, verse 23. Paul says here to the church in Rome, the wages of sin is death. That's a spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, you know, we've talked about making choices before, and we have one of two choices that we can make in this life. We can choose to follow Satan, or we can choose to follow God. Which one do you want to know better? Which one do you want to put trust in? I believe it should be God. The Bible says right here, the wages of sin is death. You want to be sinful? Then you're not going to have a spiritual life. And the gift of God is eternal life. Well, the gift of Satan is eternal life also. And we need to know that, and we need to understand that. Friends and relatives and coworkers need to understand that. We are all going to have an eternal life. It just depends on what choices we make as to where we're going to end up. Romans 8. I was doing some things with Romans the other day, and Peg looked at me and she goes, you know, I think Romans might be your favorite book in the Bible. And I mean, I've got sermon after sermon after sermon on Romans. And I taught Romans back when I was not near as knowledgeable as I am today. And at that time, it was a really, really tough struggle for me to teach Romans because there's so much in there. But as you open it up and as you study it, God reveals more and more of it to you. And it becomes not so difficult. Paul was talking to a church that had problems. He was comparing, what the Jews were trying to do and the wrong things they were trying to make the Gentiles do. But in 8:37 through 39, he tells the church in Rome, he goes, yet all these things we are more than conquerors. How do we conquer everything? Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. You notice how Paul always does that? He always just kind of, and everything else. But you look at that list he just listed. I'm persuaded, that means he believed it, that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, it's everything, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's saying, I don't care what you run into. I don't care what is going on out there. As long as you stay with God, you can't become separated. Sin will separate us from God. Bruce covered that well this morning in his sermon. John 14:27. peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. How much more do we want from God and Jesus? They're willing to give us everything. They're willing to give us our peace, our comfort, an everlasting life, a home in heaven. They're willing to do all these things. That's promises. And lastly, under this section, Proverbs 1 and 33, I think, sums up promises. It says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety, will be at ease, and be without fear of harm. But it's qualified. Whoever listens to me. Are we willing to listen to God? Are we willing to put him there? Another reason to trust God, in my opinion, I don't like opinions in sermons, but I'm going to give you one. We really have no sensible alternative. If you stop and think about it, should we trust in others, ourselves, who are sinful, unpredictable, unreliable, have limited wisdom, who make bad choices, who make bad decisions, we're swayed by emotion? Is that where you want to put your trust? Or do we trust in an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, gracious, merciful, loving God who has nothing but his best intentions for us? Which way do you want to go? Where do you want to put your trust? The choice should be obvious. But there's times that we fail to trust God because we don't really know him. We can't hope to trust in someone who is essentially a stranger to us. We know that from being in the business world. We know that from walking in the world. And someone walks up to you and says, trust me, run. Just run. God has not made him, he's not difficult to find. He's right here. He's not difficult to know. He's right here. What we need to know about God, he's made available to us in the Bible. Everything we need to know God is to trust him. All right, so how do we get to know him better? How do we get to where we need to be to have these promises, know what he's saying to us, and know it's all true? How do we get there? I feel like there's two ways. One is open the Bible up, read it, and study it. There's no better way to get to know something. The other is communication. Just like the conversation I had with Tanya tonight. If I don't converse with God, how am I ever going to get to know him? If I don't ask him questions and let him answer them, how am I ever going to get to know him? I can't. It's been said by psychologists, communication is the key to success. Those of us in the business world I'm not still there, but those of you that are, I was in sales, and the key to success was communication. Peg and I have been married over 50 years now. The key to that success is communication. If you shut down communication, I guarantee you, whatever you're trying to do will fail. If you shut down communication with God and think you can do it on your own, you will fail. You have to have that communication. I'm going to look at some verses in Psalm very quickly. I want to start in Psalm chapter 9. We're just going to kind of progress as we look at 8 or 10 different verses here. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. Psalm 32, 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 6. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Start to see a theme here? Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Psalm 61, 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 71, 1 through 3. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 73, 27 and 28. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Psalm 86, 1 through 5. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. I want to reread that. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from the time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Let the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such a turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Lastly, I want Psalm 56, verse 11. Psalm 56, verse 11. I think this sums up what I'm trying to say tonight. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When I was in sales and I was having trouble closing my sale, many times I would look at the people and I would say, and look them right in the eye, and I would say, look, you're going to have to trust someone. It might as well be me. And I would go back through my company credibility, and I would go back through the benefits, and I would go back through the warranty on my equipment. And many times that turned a sale. Right now, God's looking us in the eye. And he's saying, you have to trust someone, might as well be me. His credibility is the Bible. His company is the church. You have to trust someone. It might as well be me. The lesson is yours. It's difficult to get to know someone if we don't put the effort out. It's difficult to know someone if we don't communicate. If you've not put your Lord on in baptism, we have that opportunity at this time. If you've not put that full trust into God and said, okay, I'm going to turn my life over to you, we have the opportunity to do that right now. If you need help, if you need prayers to strengthen yourself, to put you in a position where I have that absolute trust, like you do when you get in your car and drive down the street from here, and that same trust into God. If you need help with that, we're here for you. We'll go to prayer. We'll go to God for you. We'll help you. But we don't know the wants and needs unless you let us know. So if there be a need, let us stand as we sing the invitation song.